You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, it's Friday and it's our get-together, and I always enjoy it, and especially with our listening audience out there.
Yes, this is our special Grey Cup edition, Vancouver hosting Toronto and Winnipeg in Canada's Super Bowl called the Grey Cup. By the way, the Grey Cup has been on much, much longer than the Super Bowl. This is the 111th Grey Cup.
Yeah.
One of the longest professional sports trophies out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew it was a long time, but I didn't know specifically that long. Good research on your part, Mike.
Right. Winnipeg's going to win.
Okay.
West is best. That's how it always works in Canada.
I remember ages ago, two Toronto comedians, this was back on radio, and hey, that's a long time ago, and they did a skit on that included football, and the name of the Winnipeg team was the Blue Embalmers.
Yes, there's also a joke about Canadian football really has four downs, not three, but we punt on the third down just to play it safe.
It's a great sport, and it has a good following, so, yeah.
Well, the Canadian game's more exciting because there's more ways to score, and the field's bigger, so your offense can, and we have an extra player as well.
Yeah,
it's a different game. It's similar but different.
No, I have heard, and I'm not a great spectator sports fan, but I've heard that in Canada we're playing a better version of it.
Yeah. Single points and points on missed field goals, it drives Americans nuts.
Yeah.
What, you get rewarded for missing? Yeah, it's Canada. It's kind of like our government health care. It's not complete, but it's better than nothing.
Yep. All right.
Now, let's wade into our listener questions. We have several today. Our first one comes from Michael. It's lengthy. Hi, Bob and Jim. It seems like the incoming Trump administration wants to back the U.S. dollar with tulips, that is, Bitcoin. And Doge, or D-O-G-E, Elon Musk's favorite digital coin, is soaring apparently because its name is the same as Trump's new cost-cutting agency he's going to head, the Department of Government Efficiency, or Doge.
Doge, yeah.
There's no mention of gold as a candidate to back the U.S. dollar, even though the U.S. government holds 8,000 tons of gold, or do they? There's a lot of debate about whether they really have any gold in Fort Knox. Foreign governments, especially Russia, India, and China, continue to accumulate gold. Non-Western investors are buying gold, not Bitcoin. Bob, I'm confused. Why would the incoming U.S. administration want to back the dollar with tulips, that is Bitcoin, when they're sitting on 8,000 tons of real money, gold? I thought that Bitcoin was just another version of Dutch tulip mania. Bob, where does monetary policy go from here in an apparently Bitcoin-centered world?
You're right. It does seem crazy out there, and it has been crazy, but on a great reform movement. I'll back it up a bit here. We've been 120 years in a tyrannical century where government becomes oppressive, wars all the time, taxation, and when taxation is not enough, inflation. And what we've had for the last 120 years has happened before, and this is now ending action. So, and it'll be currency. And at some point, the public will demand that all currencies, including the U.S. and the Canadian, be convertible into gold, because it's one way of providing discipline upon the reckless central bankers. And also, it's ancient things that the reserve for any bank, commercial or financial or central bank, has got to keep its reserve in something, and gold has always been the best reserve. And actually, there's a not widely known thing is that all of the supposed gold, the 8,000 tons he mentions in of gold in Fort Knox, it's not really there. I have it on the best authority that radon gas in the basement has turned all of the gold to lead. So there you are. And we would add an old Vancouver saying, remember where you heard it. So.
And also when Germany asked the U.S. to send back the gold they had stored at Fort Knox, it turned out it was tungsten plated in gold, but not solid gold.
Oh, isn't
yeah.
that
bit of
weird.
A scandal there.
Well, the one story I like from way back, talking to a guy very high up in the gold business, and in 1937-38, as war became apparent and Hitler kept getting more reckless, senior banks in Germany, like Dresdner, they then had some of their gold reserves, of course, in Switzerland. But, of course, with a banker, you want to be assured of getting your gold back. So they then had gold stored with the Bank of England, and that was the potential enemy. So it's practical, and gold is the reserve that all banks, commercial, financial, and central banks, should be keeping. But you had the New Age economists around at the central banks, and somehow they got the idea that a gold reserve just sitting there was not making any income. So this is where the reserves were corrupted into owning debt instruments so they can get a return on the investment. They just don't understand. So, hey, it's a good question.
Our next question comes from Kathleen. I haven't seen it, but I bet you it mentions music. Greetings, Bob and Jim. It looks like market euphoria is back as markets are overbought at any time in history. Remember that Fifth Dimension song that went up, up and away, my beautiful balloon?
Oh, I love
that. We can sing
a
song, sail along the silver sky, for we can fly. I'm not going to sing.
Yeah.
Bob, is this market casino a spinning wheel about to fly off its axis? A little mention there to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Is this economy or market casino a spinning wheel about to fly off its axis, or will asset prices fly higher with continued inflation? It seems the economy needs a good corrective dose of deflation. Bob, given the high-flying inflationary prices and euphoria way up in the ozone layer, will we ever see deflation again?
Long question, but a good one. And it reminded me of a song by Kay Starr, maybe about 1950, called Wheel of Fortune. So, anyways, we're in a great, fantastic bubble. The whole world tells us it's a fabulous bubble, and actually the whole world is telling us it's going to go on forever. And valuations are beyond. So, but what you want to just look for is dynamics. So what we have been looking for is we had two targets this year, a strong rally to around mid-year. And that's when a lot of that FEMA or, you know, the crazy Magnificent Seven stocks and related items went straight up. And then the next target was strength into September, and it's kind of continued into October. But it started the correction. So here we are. The view is here, probably it's an important correction, and probably it might just hold because we got one more favorable seasonal move, which is often into January. And some great peaks have been set in January. Silver, I think it was January 21st, 1980, and then also a stock market thing. S&P set its high, I think it was January 10th of 1973, and it was followed by a very lengthy bear market. So, yeah, January can be strong, but January can also put an end to a market phenomenon that's going on going into it. So There we are. Watch out.
Now, our last question is more of a comment from Justin in Berkeley. Hi, Bob and Jim. Bob often cites the real cost of gold as a best metric when considering gold and miners as an investment. I recently noticed that miners sometimes cite their ASIC, the all-in sustained cost, which is handy to see if their margins are good enough to cover all the costs of mining. The World Gold Council provides a production cost chart for the gold mining industry. I'm not sure bribing local officials is included, but North America has the highest production cost. The average seems to be about $1,300 an ounce U.S. Now, so that means after the price of gold goes above $1,300, you're making money on it.
Yeah.
Well, they're making a lot of money then, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, well, the way I look, we look at it, Jim, is the deflated price. Most everyone who is doing it is deflated by the U.S. CPI inflation, the rate of inflation. But it's a lot more fun to do it, take gold and divide it by the CRB commodity index. And it's a reasonable assumption that the CRB index is a proxy for mining costs. So it doesn't matter what the dollar price of gold is, the price of gold in dollars, you know, the one that all of the pundits go on about. What really matters is how much money they're making. You could say have the U.S. dollar crashing even further, but if the costs of mining are going up, the gold companies aren't making any money. But if you take a look at the CRB, gold has been outperforming the CRB for almost a year now. Fabulous. And it's at new highs right now. That's gold divided by CRB. And it doesn't seem to be too overbought at the moment. A little overbought, so it's earned a rest. And then my colleague Ross Clark, of course, has always got the very good nearer-term handle on some of these moves, technical moves, and the sector has become, by his measures, technically overbought. So it's just due for a rest. Now, our view is that just early stages in a multi-year bull market for gold stocks, not based upon the dollar crashing. That is buying gold stocks on a speculation in foreign exchange. But if you're buying gold stocks looking forward to a stream of increasing earnings, then you're investing. And this is the way we look at it. The gold bullion price to this week is outperforming the CRB, and it's a good thing. So early stages of a multi-year bull market that at times could be fabulous when some junior makes an important discovery.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. First headline from CNN. A shadow financial crisis has cost the world $2 trillion U.S. dollars. What is this shadow financial crisis?
I looked into it, but no, the writer didn't provide a satisfactory answer. But hey, if this is a shadow crisis, what's the real one going to be like?
Right. Now, it could be, again, secondary, tertiary markets that are overpaying for interest costs. I mean, we always watch the U.S. economy, but what about the rest of the world?
Whatever.
I mean, Argentina, they always owe a lot of money. They're always in financial crisis. They've never stopped since the 70s.
Shadow or real, You're talking big amounts here. $2 trillion is a lot of money.
Isn't that what Elon Musk spends for lunch?
Right.
Now, from the Wall Street Journal, Hong Kong's tycoons are selling trophy homes at fire sale prices.
Now, that tells us that these guys are over-leveraged and they have to get out. And, of course, when everybody was buying an over-leveraged market on yet more leverage, and it all goes bad, they all go broke at the same time. It's a classic.
Now, watching the financial news, China reports their economy is actually doing very well. Of course, that's the government reporting that. People are spending, consumer spending is up, they're buying more cars and so on. But the one thing that they're not putting money in, it's almost minus 10%, is real estate. Will China real estate ever come back from this disaster?
No. Real estate can have whether it's residential or commercial, can have a pretty good high as a great financial bubble completes, and then it can go bad for a very long time, like decades. So, yeah.
From Yahoo, Fed in position to respond to risks as needed.
Yeah. When you look behind that headline, it's the standard thing that the Fed is there to ensure that no matter how crazily you behave in the financial markets, you're not going to lose any money because the Fed is there to look after everything. And indeed, if you go back to the start of the Fed at Christmas in 1913, the movers and shakers, the guys who really understood things then, they knew that when if you had a credit crisis, it would be followed by a recession. So they came up with the idea that you would have a lender of last resort, which was the Fed, and the lender of last resort would be there to prevent a credit crisis. Therefore, presto, no more recession. And the Fed, as I said, began in December of 1913, and since then, there have been 18 cyclical recessions. And in most honest disciplines, you have a theory, and if you have one failure, that's usually enough to say, hey, the theory's no good. But this thing has had 18 failures, and yet there's always somebody who believes that the Fed is there to prevent bad things from happening. And this is I've used the phrase before, and this is what I think is going to happen, is as we go into the next contraction and it gets severe, folks are going to look at, ordinary folks are going to look at the Fed and say, hey, you took trillions of our taxpayers' money to prevent bad things from happening, and bad things are dreadful. So it's inevitable. The Fed and other central banks will need to be disciplined. And one way of you can't get rid of central banks, but you can get them on a gold standard, which provides some discipline. And I'm looking forward to it.
Extreme greed speculative frenzy in Korea sends Bitcoin above $90,000 U.S. as Trump readies pro-crypto lineup.
Well, that says it. Yep, extreme greed.
Well, so he wants Bitcoin to be part of the U.S. dollar. Is that a wise move?
No, they're just mumbling around about various ideas. But and if they do the research, they'll come down to one thing, gold as a reserve.
A headline, Florida's crumbling home prices haven't been this bad since 2011.
Yeah, I've been following this one because in the bubble going up to 1929, on these investors all and speculators all along the eastern seaboard, with trains opened and the guy built the railway all the way down Florida and whatnot, land down there became speculative, highly speculative. I think people were even buying mangrove swamps, and everybody was in the game, and it reached a peak at about 1925, 1926, and we don't know what would have happened otherwise, but a severe hurricane came through. Well, there, all the speculators were hung up on bad investments in Florida property. But the bubble was due to complete in 1929, a decade after the previous boom in commodities. And so that had to conclude. But in looking back on it, that hit the financial markets had sucked out a lot of money, you know, casualty insurers, and, you know, it was made the markets a little precarious. But, and of course, this similar problem was with the 1873 bubble, when in 1871 you had the Chicago fire, major, major damage. And then it went on, continued on the Peshtigo fire up on the Wisconsin side of the lake. And in Europe, they had the Franco-Prussian War, where Paris was besieged, and all kinds of intrusive things that were damaging the capital markets. And then, but the bubble still completed in 1873. So when it was time for the bubble to collapse, a lot of capital that might have helped had just vanished, wiped out. So this is where we are now, is that on this terrible storms, there's been a lot of damage done to the capital markets, and they say you've got casualty insurers, you've got all kinds of things, and so it makes it a little precarious for when the contraction really does come in.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, I enjoy our get-together, and we look forward to talking next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, and you know he loves to answer them, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.